Leicester looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to our final preview of the season, supported by Phantom Bruco. Well, we've finally got there, haven't we, everyone? We've got to the end of the season and we will be playing Blackpool at home. And to help me talk through it, it is the man, the legend. That is James Earnshaw from the Reading Chronicle. He's been an absolute star this season, joining us every week. But how are you doing, James?
Yeah, I'm good, Paul. You know, it's end, the end is nigh. Is the end
it's a
of,
bit bleak?
is the end of this whole saga at nigh? I'm not quite sure just yet. But yeah, I'm looking forward to going back to a normal person's work week and working Monday to Friday and having nothing to write about for the summer. So yeah, that's going to be it's gonna be interesting. Although hopefully there's lots to write about.
Wow, James, you really like made me feel. I don't know how I feel. Just feel sad for you right now. I really do now. Genuinely feel sad. But what a season to cover Reading FC. It has been absolute carnage, hasn't it? And last night we recorded part one of our podcast, and James was on it for the season review. And it covered the period from the beginning of the season until the Shrewsbury match. Oh, blimey. That was a roller coaster. That podcast will be out next week, James. But when you look back on that and you look how far we've come on and improved, it's quite amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure it was a roller coaster, Paul. I think it was more just a cliff jump more than anything. It was just plummeting quite literally to the bottom. Yeah, it's been the toughest year, I think, of all of our lives, to be honest. It's been, from a journalistic point of view, pretty good. I mean, lots to cover and lots to write about and lots of storylines and plot twists and whatever else. But from a fan, it's a year that none of us would ever want to go through again. It's been pretty bleak. But yeah, the turnaround since the new year, really, has been nothing short of remarkable. You know, and it's put following Reading quite fun again, which, you know, for a long time it hasn't been. Even stretching back to the second part of last season, it wasn't great. And this year took a whole new turn at the first half of this season. But yeah, it's actually been fun following them again, which we can't say for quite a while.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, it wasn't that much fun last week in some ways against Burton. The game, obviously, we lost 3-2. But ultimately, it didn't really matter, James, did it? It's disappointing that the performance that we put in the first half, but it wasn't the end of the world, was it?
Yeah, no, exactly. It was probably what most of us expected, really. I think we would have been a bit surprised if they'd come out and played us with the same intent that they had when they were, you know, fighting for survival. Got a couple of goals for the fans to cheer. The inflatable successfully made their way in, which was always good on the last day. So, yeah, you know, it was a good laugh in the sunshine, although it was a bit chilly. And, yeah, you know, a fitting way to round off an away campaign, really, with a defeat.
Yeah, nothing more than you could say about us away from home this season. There's been a few wins. Obviously, we did win at Bristol Rovers recently, and we got a draw at Barnsley, and we've had a few others. So it hasn't been complete misery, but overall, it hasn't been great. But, James, now I want to know your top three goals of the season. Where are you going to start?
Top three goals of the season. Well, I mean, they've all come from recent weeks. I say recent, well, since Christmas. I think the Lewis wing against Port Vale one topped it for me, just because I've never seen a goal from distance not move in the air the way that wings did. It kind of stayed the same trajectory from the minute it left his boot as when it hit the net. And I thought the technique on that was amazing. The fourth Cambridge goal, when Kelvin cut in and volleyed it past the keeper, was as emphatic as you can get with a capital E. For Eat Batchman. And then I thought Aziz's left-footed volley against Charlton was pretty damn good, coming from one of Amadou's long throw classics. And yeah, you know, they're my top three. But I mean, Reading's goal of the year official one has 12. I mean, you probably could have got 24 if you were going to go for it. I mean, we've scored some pretty incredible goals this season, and there's four or five players that have had two or three each to choose from.
Yeah, I mean, Lewis Wing probably could have had his own competition, couldn't he? Let's be honest, it was ridiculous the amount of good goals that he scored this season. And Obviously, we've seen us go to a lot of new grounds this season. We've seen us play lots of new teams that we haven't played for, I don't know, 20 years or so, or maybe never. I'm making that up. I can't remember. But what would you say was the best away support you've seen at the SCL and the best home support you've seen when you've been travelling away?
The best lot of the SCL, I think, are probably Charlton. I think statistically they have brought them the most, I think. And it was obviously Nathan Jones's first game, so there's lots of sort of optimism. And then for once we crushed it because we beat them, which was quite nice. But they've since gone on a 14-game unbeaten run. So, you know, we've probably done them a favour, really. But yeah, I thought they were good. Obviously, you had the usuals. You know, Portsmouth were good. Bristol Rovers were good, other than throwing a flare at a fan. Oxford, you know, were good for numbers, as you'd expect for a derby. But no, I think Charlton just shaded it, especially as statistically they've brought the most. And then away from home, annoyingly again, to have to give them praise, but it was probably Portsmouth. You know, I guess it's easy to make noise when it's, you know, all going well for you. And again, that's statistically their biggest crowd for, I think, 15 years because the Ding were in town. Nothing to do with the fact that their ground development was just about done. So, yeah, I thought Portsmouth were very loud. It helped, obviously, winning 4-1. But, you know, you can only see what's in front of you. And yeah, other than that, I think for the most polarising, I think Shrewsbury probably has to win, where I think they all would have probably shot Matt Taylor on the touchline if they could have done, to then having a massive bundle with him in the corner after scoring a second goal in stoppage time to win 3-2. I don't think I've ever seen a crowd go from one extreme to the other so quickly as that. But no, I definitely think Portsmouth and Fratton Park has lived up to the reputation that I had it had that I had of it before I went.
Yeah, I know. It's no surprises there, really. I mean, I think Oxford brought a lot of fans, but they didn't make much noise, did they? It's a little bit weird, but it's Oxford, isn't it? So, you know, you don't expect much, do you? They're not the best in any formal manner. I'm just never going to praise them, really. Whatever they do, they could go the first people to go to Mars, and I still would not praise them. So... Also, James, you obviously had the presser today. There didn't seem to be any major news. It'd be a shame if Tom Holmes doesn't get a few minutes at the end of the match tomorrow, whatever the score is, because ultimately it doesn't matter to us. Obviously, it does to Blackpool massively, but it would be good. And it was interesting to see Ruben saying how when players are leaving, the club haven't really dealt with it that well recently.
Yeah, it was an interesting point. Probably one of the most interesting points to come of it, to be fair, was how he thought the club should do better in treating the players that leave, which I guess, you know, he's had a lot of players leave this season, so he's probably got a lot of practice. And the same with staff, to be fair. I mean, when you look at the likes of Eddie Nizvicki, sort of leaving, and the sort of three or four different spells he'd had, and there was kind of just one bullet point kind of thing to say he'd gone. But I guess, you know, at that point, staff and the club had little chance to say anything because they were kind of out the door at that point. It was needs must, and the club needed the money, and certain staff had kind of, you know, sold them before half of them even knew. So, you know, it wasn't the easiest thing to situation to deal with. Be nice for Holmes to get a run out on his last sort of appearance. I mean, he's been at the club since he was 8, so that's going on, what, 15, 16 years. And, you know, he's always put in the effort when he's played. So good luck to him. But other than that, we spoke to Amadou and Clinton as a pair, which is obviously entertaining, being Amadou. He was singing Up the Ding into Jonathan Richards' Greatest Hits radio mic, was quite entertaining. And then we spoke to Noel Hunt ahead of the playoffs in PL2, and basically just said how he was left a bit disappointed with the way that Nottingham Forest handled the cancellation on Monday. So that's all to come in the Chronicle, so make sure you read it. But yeah, other than that, that was the main thing. Obviously, Yeardom's still out till next season. But yeah, Holmes will be a touch and go.
Yeah, it's a shame about that Premier League 2-1 situation, isn't it? Because I'm sure a lot of some of our fans would have liked to have gone to see them play against Man City. I think that was due to be next Monday, was it? I think so, yeah.
Yeah, now it's Friday behind closed doors.
Yeah, that's not the same in any way or form, is it? Even for the players or people who want to go, it's just completely.
Well, exactly. I mean, Hunt was saying how they're quite close to sort of confirming their contracts for the youth squads next season, and how obviously for some of them it probably would have been a last run out if those haven't been offered new deals or have taken up options elsewhere. So it would have been a nice sort of close to the season. But you know, there's still the Barks and Bucks final to contend with, and obviously the playoffs. And I think they need one more point to confirm a place in Europe next season, which obviously would be a great coup for everybody at the club.
Yeah, when is the Barks and Bucks final, James?
Can May. You do that? They haven't announced a proper date yet, but it's May.
Okay. Nice. So one final question for you, James. What was the best ground for you to visit as a journalist this season?
Ooh, I mean, obviously, been lots of new ones this season. But I think Bolton kind of was special for a bowl. I thought it was kind of more cool than other bowls. Being a regular bowl attender at the Medeski, it was quite a cool one. And they do hot food. And as a journalist, forget atmosphere and forget the quality of the game. Parking and food are now my two favourite things to assess when I go to games. And as you can tell in League One, the quality of both has dropped off significantly. But Bolton, being obviously one of the big clubs in the league, they didn't disappoint at all.
What did they dish up, James? That's what we need
to know. It was chicken and sauce with vegetables.
Nice. Very, very nice. Well, I've got to say, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you this season, James, on the preview and other podcasts that you've been on. I'm basically hanging out with you sometimes at the Turtle or Blue Collar. You know, we won't go into them, but they were really good, and we really appreciate all your time. So thanks for that, James.
No, thanks for having me on. I look forward to coming back over the summer to hopefully talk about a new owner or pre-season tour of Thatcham. Possibly, or you know, pre-season, which I'm sure will come around faster than all of us can expect.
Yeah, reminds me, we played Thatcham Town last summer, didn't we? I quite enjoyed that, weirdly. It was only like the under-18s or something, but it was quite good. So yes, thanks a lot. Now Matt will be having a chat with not one but two Blackpool fans. He's a very chatty man, he's a lovely guy, but I'm sure you enjoy it. Thanks for listening. Cheers.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of the Elm Park Rolls preview podcast, brought to you, of course, by Phantom Brew Co. It's the very last view from the opposition that we've got this season. We're going to be looking at Blackpool coming into the game, still with a sniff of the playoffs. It should be a fantastic game this weekend. But because it's the last one of the season, we're doing things a bit differently. We've got two people on the preview podcast to discuss Blackpool, both of which from It's Not the Orange podcast. We've got Tom and Martin. How are you both doing?
I'm really good. It's lovely. It's the first time I've been on someone else's podcast, so thank you for inviting us.
Pleasure to have you.
Good here as well, mate. Looking forward to talking Blackpool, I suppose, with some hope going into the weekend.
Fantastic stuff. Well, like you say, there is hope. Somehow the playoff picture is condensed and we've got four teams that could actually still get into the, well, we've got two spots in the playoffs contested by four teams. You've got Barnsley, Lincoln, Oxford and Blackpool all fighting for two spots. And I think when you think about 3, 4, 5 weeks back, maybe Blackpool fans probably didn't think that was going to be possible. But Martin, just talk us through the last kind of 3 or 4 weeks and really what's culminated with this run of 4 consecutive wins and 5 unbeaten that has kind of given you this chance to get playoffs.
Yeah, we were faced with a favourable bunch of home games together. We had Wickham, Cambridge and Fleetwood in consecutive home games, sort of over just either side of the Easter or over the Easter period just after. We unfortunately drew the first one 0-0 in a horrendously boring affair. And then we beat Cambridge 1-0 in a horrendously boring affair. And then we beat Fleetwood in a slightly less horrendously boring affair. Actually, that was quite good because there was a bit of local spice to it and it was good. Then we went to Carlisle and won 1-0. So you can see a theme. And then typically I was away and we beat Barnsley 3-2, where the team actually turned up and played some attacking football for a change and actually had a right good go. So we had a favourable run of fixtures, but I like probably Tom will tell you that I wasn't ultra confident that this team had it in them to go on and win four in a row, and we still need to win the fifth in a row to have a chance of getting in the playoffs. So it's very unexpected to be sat here talking to you about it, because I thought it would peter out into a kind of, you know, we'd be 5 or 6 points short, but as it is, by some miracle, we have an opportunity. So it's been more positive than we thought it was going to be.
Well, no, Alex from our podcast has been a bit of a cheerleader, really, for Blackpool, not only getting in the playoffs, but winning the playoffs this year. So he's quite happy at the moment. Tom, when we look back at the season as a whole for Blackpool, it's been, I guess, very up and down. You've had some good moments, you've had some bad moments, but like we've kind of said, it's a bit of a surprise maybe for Blackpool fans that you're pushing for that final playoff spot, which I guess none of the relegated teams last year from the Championship, us being one of them as well, have really been that usual kind of fighting for promotion. What's the story of the season been really for Blackpool?
Where do I start? A lack of attacking football is probably the best way to describe the season. It's been, me and Martin have used the word passive too many times. We played against you naturally, if I'm being honest, at the time you weren't in a good place, and we had an excellent goal scorer in our ranks, and it turned out to be a very comfortable victory. So, you know, you might be listening to this thinking, what's he talking about? Our home form has been very good. We sit fourth for home form. The away form has been utterly unacceptable. We've lost to Burton, we've lost to Cambridge, we've lost to Port Vale. You know, we didn't have a shot against Leyton Orient, we didn't have a shot on target against Burton, you know, when they're in the bottom four. So we've had the ability, clearly, and recent weeks have shown you that. From one thing or another, me and Martin can't dissect it, whether it's Critchley being scarred from his previous two jobs or whether the system just hasn't worked. I don't know what it is. Saturday proved that we can be a team that should be in the playoffs, arguably fighting a little higher up the league within the playoffs. But it's just been a very, I think, regrettable season. I think if we attack teams a lot more and we finished 8th or 9th, then we'd be in a much happier place. It's just now we are one game away from potentially getting the playoffs. We think back to probably a handful of games which would have put us comfortably in the top four, if I'm honest.
Well, you kind of mentioned him as well. Obviously, Neil Critchley kind of came back as manager, really, kind of at the start of the season for you guys. Obviously, had his stint with you before, pretty successful stint, I think most would say for the most part of it. But obviously, his last job at QPR just didn't take off for one reason or another, didn't happen. But has maybe the style of football from Critchley, is that causing tension within the fan base now? Are people kind of looking at it and almost thinking, is Critchley the man to take Blackpool forwards?
Yep, I think so. We said on the podcast, actually, didn't we, Martin, has he gone too far with the relationship with the fans now? And I'm not one for wanting managers to lose their jobs. I'm genuinely not. But it comes to a point in the road where you think, you know, you're just not going to be that manager for us, unfortunately. And then you revert back to the last four games. Yes, the wins haven't been spectacular, but genuinely, there's been a select few games this season, such as Bolton at home, where we won 4-1, Portsmouth away, when we won 4-0, Barnsley recently, in that first half, in the first 47 minutes, when we scored just after kickoff in the second half, where I don't think any team on the day would have coped with us. And you think, the system does work. So where has the mentality been? So I think it's, if I'm gonna put my neck on the line, I'm probably going to say it's 65-35 on Critchley this season. But that 35% has been quite poignant in away games this season. And Martin will probably add to that when we play the likes of Port Vale and Burton and stuff. There's no way that Critchley wants those players to play like the way they did, but they did. So some of them are coming to the end of their contracts, and some just didn't care, and some did, and then some didn't. And it's just accumulated into a very frustrating season, because if we were literally one win away and we'd be talking about one win against you on Saturday, would have us definitely in the playoffs, and instead we're relying on other results.
Well, Reading fans, I think, can share your away day trauma this year. And all those three teams, Reading FC also lost two away from home in unceremonious fashion. Probably no solace given that you probably wanted to win them and it would have taken you into the playoffs. But it's a funny old game sometimes when you look at it. So when we're looking really at the playoff picture, as I said, you've got Barnsley, Lincoln, Oxford and Blackpool, all with a chance of getting that last spot. If you'd have been given that at the start of the season, Martin, would that have probably been, would you have taken that basically at the start of the season, a shot for playoffs?
I got to be honest, because at the start of the pod, when we started this pod at the start of the season, we said that playoffs was a minimum. So I would have accepted playoffs as a minimum, but not the final day game away at Reading, hoping that other people lose or draw to get us in. So no, but that we're all football fans, right? And we want a bit more, don't we? So our expectations were not necessarily top two, because you know I'm a realist. You know, I've been around for a long time and watching Blackpool, and we've got some big teams in this league. You know, if you'd been run properly, you probably would have been up there. But like, you know, Derby and Portsmouth and Bolton, you know, they get double our crowds. So you know they have. Big fan bases, big income streams, big wage bills, etc. But I thought we were more than good enough for top six. And if we don't do it on Saturday, it won't be because we lose to you or other teams. It'll be because of losing to the likes of Port Vale, Burton, Cheltenham, which was one of the worst games of football I've ever seen in my life. Just not doing it against opposition that where we should have. We have no divine right to beat them, but we had certainly as a right as fans to expect to give it a damn sight better go than we have done. I think we've stabilised a bit. So we are in a much better, you know, I fancy us to win on Saturday simply because we've improved as a football team. But I would have expected to have been in the playoffs now, even if it was just, you know, just getting in with a game to go rather than praying for other people to drop points.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that's been, a plus point for you over the season, Tom, is defensively. You look at your defensive record, I think it's 45 goals conceded across the season, which whenever you think of conceding one goal a game across the season, you're going to think of a team that's going to be, you know, there or thereabouts when it comes to the top end or the towards the back end of the season. Is that down to Neil Critchley's tactics, though? Because he sets up in that kind of 3-5-2, 5-3-2, whatever. 3-5-2 or 5-3-2, whatever way you want to kind of spell it out and kind of present it. Is it kind of, down to that? And like you say, it's just not being attacking enough. Because it's weird, because when you look at it, you've also scored quite a lot of goals this season. You know, you're in the high 60s for goals, I think it is. A goal difference of, I think it's 18 for the season. It's actually, when you look at those stats and you think, that's actually quite a good mix. You'd think of a team that is in the playoffs at that point. But has it just been those goals have come in a few games? Like when you think 4-1 at Reading, another 4-0s that you've had across the season.
You've hit the nail on the head. I think the core of the team has been excellent, and I think when I say the core of the team, I mean the defense. We've got a handful of defenders which I want next season. If we lost one or two and then added a little bit more quality, I'm absolutely, you know, ecstatic about that, because we've got the likes of Oliver Casey, Marvin Ekpeteta. Husband's been on the whole probably a 6 or 7 out of 10, so fairly consistent at center back. And then you've got we've had loan signings of Hayden Coulson at wing back, but we've had defenders that have come in all throughout the season, and we've had some horrendous goals conceded, but you do at League One, of course. Mm-hmm. But on the other side of the pitch is exactly where we've been lacking, ironically. And if it wasn't for Jordan Rhodes and Karamoko Dembele, we would have been in a relegation battle if we didn't have a goal scorer, if I'm honest, because you take away their goals, I think we sit something like 17th or 18th ourselves. So Shane Lavery's only got 5 or 6 goals this season, and Cole Joseph's got 2. Jake Beasley's got 6, 7 goals now. It's just not good enough, really. That's, 11 goals between 3 strikers away from Jordan Rhodes. Karamoko Dembele's now at 20 goals and assists, and he is an absolute gem of a footballer. He is an absolute maverick. He is you know, better than League One, and he'll probably do a reasonable job in the Championship at the age of 21 already. And then Jordan Rhodes has not scored in 9 games, is it now, Martin, or 8 games since his return from Wigan. He went off injured in the first half on his return, and previous to that, he didn't score for seven games. And he's still on 15, 16 goals. So he got a real purple patch at home, you know, scoring a hat-trick against you guys, a couple against Stevenage, I think it was. You know, so we've scored a lot of goals at home in good wins against really poor opposition. But when we played teams that we needed to beat at home, we haven't quite been there. But that's come from a lack of goal-scoring threat. Ironically.
Yeah. Well, let's have a look at some of the players then, because I mean, one of the players that you mentioned was obviously Karamoko Dembele. I think, is he on loan to you guys? I think from Brest in France, is it? Yes. Like say, he's just ticked over 20 goals and assists for the season. I think it's 13 assists and 7 goals he's got across the season. 21 years old. Is he probably the player that you pick out from this team and you say that's the player, if he plays well, it ticks, and Blackpool play well, Martin?
Yeah, I mean, he's just swept the board at the Player of the Season Awards. He won everything apart from goal scorer that he probably could do. He's just one of those players. We've had players like that in the past. You know, people remember Wes Houlihan, who went on to have a really great career at Norwich. And I compared him to him last night. He's a difference maker. When he gets on the ball, he gets you off your feet. You know, some Premier League teams have two or three of those, but at this level, you're lucky to have one in maybe over 4 or 5 seasons. But he is a gem, as Tom said. Got him on loan from FC Brest. He was the next big thing at Celtic 4 or 5 years ago, but he was 16 and not ready for it. And I think Neil Critchley's managed him well. You know, there is zero chance of signing him permanently, because we know that Championship clubs are already sniffing, so he'll go back to Brest. And then I noticed they're actually third in the French league, so they're doing very well as well. But they apparently don't want to keep him, whether they've changed their mind, but the feeling was they didn't want to keep him. But if they want to get rid of him, he'll end up probably at a really good or half-decent Championship club. But he is brilliant. He's one of those players that when he's on the ball, you know, he's a joy to watch. And also his temperament is brilliant. When he gets fouled, he just gets up and gets on with it. He doesn't moan. He doesn't complain. He just gets on with it. He's actually got a little bit of steel to his game as well, which you might not think looking at him, but he has. Yeah, great player.
Tom, would there be any other players you'd pick out really from this team? I think Jordan Rhodes obviously is top goal scorer on 15 for you guys, but being out injured the last few weeks, might be back on the bench for this game. I think it's back in training. So beware of Jordan Rhodes, Reading FC fans, if he comes on. But Tom, would you pick anyone out really else as a one to watch outside of Dembele, or is it kind of you just keep your eye on him?
Did we mention Dembele? No, so our keeper deserves an exceptional amount of credit this year, and Daniel Grimshaw. We've been unthreatened, if that's a word. Opposition not been a threat to us this season in games, and like Fleetwood as an example. And in the 94th minute, they have a volley from 12 yards, which is destined to go in, and he's saved it against Barnsley. He makes an incredible double save at 3-1 from Sam Cosgrove's header, which is flying into the top corner. Then the rebound saved. He's been utterly superb, and he's kept 17 clean sheets this season along with the defence. Hard to pick out anyone particular in defence, if I'm honest. Hayden Coulson at wing-back has been an absolutely brilliant loan signing from Middlesbrough. He scored an absolute worldie on Saturday. He's very, very good. He puts in very good tackles, but at the same time, his forward movements is brilliant. And when he was playing, Ollie Casey is probably one of the most consistent defenders this year. But he then got dropped for Stephen Husband that came in. Stephen Husband? Please edit that out. James Husband. Stephen Husband was the next player of ours. Yeah, and he's not played, so it's been really weird. He signed a long-term contract because he's an incredible centre-back, and then James Husband comes back and he gets dropped. So no, not really. I would say Karamoko Dembele, Hayden Coulson are the two that I'd pick out if I was to select two. The best quality player in our team away from Karamoko is George Byers, though, someone on loan from Sheffield Wednesday who we were very surprised to sign. And if we can land him in the summer, it would be, well, it would be bliss. If we got Hayden Coulson and George Pyers, I think that would be one of the best windows we've ever had. If we got them on a permanent already, just by those two. He's an exceptionally talented midfielder who can control the game. So the battle with Wing and him on Saturday, if Wing is going to play in that central, bit of the park, is going to be very interesting to watch.
Well, if you're going to be getting into the playoffs at come 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, I know you're shaking the head, Tom. I think, like you say, that middle of the park battle could be quite crucial. But let's have a look then at the games, because Barnsley play Northampton. Barnsley massively out of form, and obviously they sit fifth at the moment on 75 points, but they've lost, I think, the last six or haven't won in about the last six or seven games, just sacked their manager as well, but obviously sitting fifth. You've then got Lincoln and Oxford on 74 points in sixth and seventh, and they play Exeter and Portsmouth respectively, and obviously you guys have got us on 73 points. It's all very tight, all very congested. The one thing obviously Oxford and Lincoln have over you guys and Barnsley is goal difference. Everyone loves a bit of last day drama, but Martin, can you see yourself sneaking into the playoffs come 5 o'clock?
Well, we did a preview last night and I said yes. So again, a bit like at the start of the season, my predictions, I'm not going to go back on it. Yeah, I think we can. Look, you know, we're playing a Reading side that are, you know, that have got the job done. You're safe, which is great. And you've got some great news, hopefully just around the corner. Party atmosphere. We're hoping the players are maybe a little bit knackered and maybe not too focused about beating us. But, you know, they're professional footballers, so I'm not expecting any favours, and neither will Critchley or the management team. So I do think we'll win the game, and I do think that that some of the results will go our way. It's the last day of the season, like you say. Anything can happen. I see Portsmouth getting at least a point at Lincoln. They are champions for a reason. Lincoln have had a great run, but I still see Portsmouth getting something at Lincoln.
How much they've spent out on the town, I think, because I think
too much time by Wigan, the sounds,
I think, of it. Yeah. Wigan, I think they seemingly looked like that they were out on the town for about the last 3 or 4 days. From I think what I was talking to a Portsmouth fan said about their first half, it looked like I think they were a non-league.
Yeah, outfit. We've heard this too. Yeah, I'd like to think that again their manager has got hold of them and said, right guys, you know, we'll go to we'll go to Vegas the week after. But you've got the integrity of the league to kind of uphold, haven't you? You've got to go out and do your job, and I'm sure they will. Exeter, like I said, Exeter on a great run. Oxford, I wouldn't fancy going to Exeter to try and get a result either. So mm-hmm. Oxford may well struggle. Barnsley against Northampton is a weird one because they are in a bad run. They've sacked the manager, which might actually release the pressure from the fans, because I think if he was still in charge, the fans would be at them for the first 5 minutes if they didn't score. Mm-hmm. So that might go in their favour, but the results will not work out how anybody thinks they will, you know, unless it's just a lucky guess. There'll be some weird twist. One of those games when Sky needs to be kind of, you know, going back and forth from every ground, because there'll be a twist and turn every 5 minutes, I think. So it's just good to be in it. It's good to be in it, because this should have been an end of season dead rubber, really, shouldn't it, for being honest?
So. Well, let's have your score predictions then, Martin and Tom. What are you going for the weekend?
I will go 3-1 Blackpool, only because I think you concede a lot of opportunities, and it means a lot more to us. And we conceded a very sloppy goal in the last minute against Barnsley. And it's no disrespect to Redden, I said in our pod, which you can all catch obviously later on, that you've got some exceptional players. I just hope that we're at it a lot more than you are, and it means a lot more to us. And in a football game where I'm speaking logically, it should mean that we, you know, score more goals and are much more structured and organised. But I've no doubts that Redden will give us a good game. But in this instance, I'm going to go 3-1 Blackpool.
And Martin?
I would go, well, yeah, I understand why Tom's gone for that. 2-0. I could see a 2-0, you know, maybe with the sort of goals in the first half and then the second half of nothing. So I don't care, as long as we get 3 points, but 2-0. 2-0 would be realistic, 1 or 2-0, probably.
I'm going to try and not pull on a Blackpool top too big here, but I'm going to go for 2-1 Blackpool. Blackpool as well. I think the Reading players are just spent for the season. We saw that at Burton last week. I think they're mentally done. I've kind of said to you guys offline, I think it's a good game for Blackpool to have on the final game of the season. But is any game a good game to have, really? We're all just talking cliches and everything at the end of the day. But hopefully it's a good game. Apologies to Blackpool fans for saying this, but remember, it is a 12:30 kickoff. Don't be late. I said come 5 o'clock. It's not going to be come 5 o'clock. It's going to be come 3 o'clock this weekend. But yeah, remember, it's a 12:30 kickoff this week.
They'll still be in the stadium at 5 o'clock if we make the playoffs.
No, get yourself into Reading Town and go down the Turtle or something. Have a bit of fun. But Martin, Tom, thank you both so much for joining me on this episode of the podcast. We did record a preview over on their podcast, so be sure to go check them out on Twitter if you just want to give a quick plug to your podcast, Martin or Tom, whichever.
Yeah, so we're the It's Not Orange podcast, or It's Not Orange pod on X. We did an excellent preview of you, and go and listen to it, sorry. And if you want to follow us, we'll drop you a follow and likewise as well.
Top guys. Well, thank you for joining us, and thank you everyone for listening. It's been brilliant bringing you these preview podcasts this season. I've fully enjoyed it. I hope everyone else has enjoyed listening to them as well. It's been a long season, it's been a tiring season, but hopefully we can look ahead to rosier times. So thank you for staying with us, listening, giving us all the views and reviews and everything. And final thing to say, I think, as usual, remember to give us a 5-star rating on your podcast of choice. Drop a follow on all of our socials, Instagram, Facebook and Twitter, to keep up with the latest Reading FC content. And until next time, I've been Matt Lansley. This has been the On Park Rules preview podcast. We'll catch you next season.